Let's now come to our God and ask for his blessing now upon his word as we come to him in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord, our blessed God, how we give you thanks for this day, the Lord's Day. It's the day that you have set aside for us, that we would draw near to you in worship and in praise. We give you thanks especially for our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death and resurrection has made it possible for us to come into your presence and to do that today without fear or trembling, for he is our high priest. Unlike us, he is holy, he's innocent, unstained by sin, and exalted to that most holy place at your right hand in the heavens. But from there, he's able to save us to the uttermost. And we, Lord, pray that you would bless your word to us this day, and that we would also, Lord, receive that word with gladness. May you grant your blessing on your servant who is called to proclaim your word. And we pray this all in Christ's name, for he lives always to make intercession for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, before we turn to song again, we're going to read from a couple of passages in the Bible. First of all, from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52 and verses 1 to 12. Isaiah 52 verses 1 to 12. And that's found on pages 846 and 47 of the Pew Bible. Hear now God's holy word. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm. In the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And then also from Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue in our series through the armor of God. So Ephesians 6 and verse 15, which will be our text for this morning, and that's found on page 1347 of the Pew Bible. And there it says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And that concludes the reading of God's word. May he bless that. Well, again, encourage you to have your Bibles open before you to Ephesians 6 and verse 15. That'll be our text for this morning as we continue in our look at the armor of God. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sports are loved by many, whether it's team sports like volleyball or individual sports like swimming or biking. Whatever your preference, you can't do them very well unless you're equipped, properly prepared. You've got to have on the right equipment. You've got to be geared up, whether you're equipped with cleats, soccer shoes, skates, a good pair of running shoes, or hiking boots. Whatever you do, you need the right shoes for traction, for speed, for ankle support. So, for example, if you're into hiking, you need good hiking shoes. Or if you're into ballet, you need ballet shoes. The point is, you need your feet in the right equipment. And no one knew that better than those who were military geniuses of the past, men like Caesar, the emperor of Rome, and also Alexander the Great. Their soldiers needed to shod their feet for the battle. This is what we find in this next phrase, the analogy being applied to the Christian soldier by the Apostle Paul. This is probably the more difficult phrase to be able to interpret within this description of Christian armor that we find in Ephesians 6. There are a few reasons for this. For one, you notice that there is no mention of armor itself. It simply says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We assume that Paul is talking about boots or sandals because the word shod means to tie or to bind underneath. And that's what the word in the original Greek means when it comes to footwear. Another difficulty is, does Paul mean that we're to be ready to make the truth of the gospel known by announcing it? Or is he speaking about firmness or steadiness of the gospel of peace to those who have their feet shod with it? In other words, is he speaking about the readiness to spread the good news of the gospel, or is he speaking about a readiness given to us by the gospel of peace? So those are two different interpretations that are brought out by solid theologians. So how are we to understand this? How do we interpret it? Well, we know that this passage is describing something in the context. This is describing a spiritual warfare, this fight against Satan. So that's the important thing to keep in mind as we consider that this morning and what is being understood here. And the key to understanding it is knowing what this word preparation means. It may mean preparedness, and some take it that way. Maybe that's the way that you've always understood it, that this has to do with the spreading of the gospel. And you may even have a footnote in your Bibles to Isaiah 52, which we read from earlier. How shall they preach unless they are sent? Which is from Romans 10 as well. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And so the idea is that we have to be ready to run with the gospel. However, on the basis of the context, that's not what Paul is getting at. The reason I say this is because Paul is dealing with one thing, one main theme, and it's our fight against the devil and the evil forces and how we're able to fight against him. The Apostle Paul is picturing how great the conflict is for each one of us, how Satan is assailing each of us, and how we must be ready. He's seeking to prey upon you, congregation. He is on the prowl. He's a roaring lion seeking to devour. He's in a rage. He's a great adversary. And you have to resist him. You have to stand against him. How do you do this? Well, the whole point is that we need to have the right armor on. We have to have the belt of truth on. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness. And now we're told to have our feet properly fitted with the proper footwear. Because if you don't, you won't be able to stand. So hear God's word from Ephesians 6, verse 15, under the theme, put on the gospel shoes. And consider this text this morning with two questions. First of all, what does it mean to shod your feet? And then secondly, how does shodding your feet help you in this spiritual battle? So first of all, what does it mean to shod your feet? Well, we understand this by looking at the Roman soldier of that time as he wore shoes specially designed for battle. Could a soldier be prepared for battle with a pair of slippers? Children, would slippers help a soldier? No, of course not. His shoes or sandals had to be very specific. Imagine a legion of Roman soldiers wearing from head to foot all their armor, but going barefoot. All their feet would be ripped to shreds. The Roman soldiers wore thickly studded shoes with sharp nails to increase their traction. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian of that time period during the Roman occupation of the Jews, the Romans had a great ability to conquer based on their shoes. That's according to Josephus, the design of the sandal. So these shoes were crucial according to their design and purpose. But we're interested in the spiritual application of that, and that is supplied by Paul with the use of these three words: preparation, gospel, and peace. Preparation, as I mentioned earlier, is the key to understand this. The emphasis falls on the firmness and the steadfastness that the gospel gives to you. Preparation, meaning a prepared foundation. We need the right foundation. You have to have the necessary equipment, like the hobnailed sandal of the Roman soldier, in order for you to have the right footing. And you are prepared when you have on the gospel of peace for firm footing. That's what Paul is getting at. The gospel, what is that? That is the good news of Jesus Christ, about salvation in him. As Christian soldiers, you need the gospel. It's the firm foundation. It gives peace, the kind of peace that is a direct result of that gospel. John Calvin put it this way. He said, nothing else can give peace of conscience than the gospel. It's the message of peace. Peace with God. What is peace? Peace is knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're a child of God. Peace is being reconciled to God, and nothing else can give you peace. That's what we need. The gospel is for the Christian soldier. A soldier can't even face the enemy without it. We're talking here about the effect that this has on you, on your life, on your outlook for the future, on your plans. Peace with God is where it counts, especially when Satan comes along and attacks us. In the heat of the moment, and he brings all kinds of accusations against you that you're not a Christian, or he attacks you in different ways. How are you going to withstand him? Well, if you don't have the gospel on your feet, then you're completely defenseless and vulnerable to him. You've got to have a means of defending yourself. On this point, the question is, what kind of shoes are you preparing yourself? How are you preparing yourself to do battle with Satan? What are you putting on your feet? Well, if you're the kind of person who likes a good pair of shoes, what do? Well, you go to the specialty store, National Sports, or another maybe store that you like in the mall, or maybe it's with Amazon now. But you order a good pair of shoes. That's what you need. But what are you putting on in your fight against Satan? Young people, what are you putting on your feet? Growing up as covenant youth, Satan is working against you, and it's very easy for you to go through all the motions of catechism, going to church every week, and still not have a personal walk with the Lord. It'd be a great tragedy to see that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and that you're not at peace with God. It would be terrible to see you go through all your catechism material at church and still not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a question for you to consider. Have you got the gospel of peace on your feet? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You can't just have head knowledge about Jesus. You have to believe in him. Otherwise, you're not prepared for the battle. So if you don't believe, the encouragement is to equip yourself with the gospel of peace. Let those shoes be on your feet. And if you do sincerely believe, what kind of shoes do you have on? And again, the answer is no different. You need to shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Whether you feel worthy of it or not, as believers, we need the gospel all the time for ourselves. That's the paradox that the Apostle Paul is laying before us in this grim reality of the battle. While the spiritual war rages around us and we're attacked by Satan, we can be at peace with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we may have the idea that the gospel is something only for the unbeliever. And the Christian doesn't really need it anymore. It's for the unbeliever. Well, that's not true. You need the gospel every day for yourself, in your own life. And you need to remain firm in the gospel and not to take it off your feet. And that's so necessary for Christian warfare. We have to realize that Satan is our accuser. He puts thoughts in your mind. You're not worthy of grace. You remember the vision that we looked at last Sunday of Joshua the high priest in the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Joshua is pictured standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan is beside him, and he's accusing him, saying, "He has stained clothes. How can he be the high priest?" And the stained clothes were a picture of his sin. But God rebukes Satan, and he takes off Joshua's filthy clothing, which depicts his sin, and he puts on the rich garments which symbolize that righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's That's a picture to us how much we need the gospel. Satan accuses us and attacks us. He plants thoughts in your mind. How can you be a Christian if you struggle with this sin? That's how Satan says it to you. What is your defense? It's got to be the gospel of peace. Some of you are here today, maybe troubled with the uncertainty of your salvation. That's Satan's attack. And you have to ask yourselves, have you called on the name of Jesus? Have you renounced any goodness in yourself? And are you relying on the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes to that question, then you can be thankful for the peace that you have with God through the gospel. That's how we can stand against the enemy. We have real peace in the midst of battle. Peace is so important for inner peace. If we're torn up with guilt inside, God's pardon can give peace. If we're full of anxiety and despair about the future, God's strength can alone give you that help to go on. Because lack of peace with God is a dangerous state to be in. It can sometimes move you to do things that are self-destructive or harmful to others. Something inside us tells us that if something is wrong, somebody else has to pay for it. And so we either put ourselves through needless suffering or we make other people pay for it. But once you know that Jesus has suffered for you and paid the price to give you peace with God, then you can have that inner peace. It passes all understanding. Guilt is replaced with assurance. Anger is replaced with compassion. Fear is replaced with courage. And despair is replaced with confidence. So we must believe the gospel. We must continue to believe it through our entire Christian lives. That's what it means to shod your feet with it. But the gospel includes more than the simple message of salvation. It contains everything that you learn from the Word of God. From your catechism teachers, your elders, your parents, your pastor. You're equipped for battle when you're taught God's Word from a young age. Now, how many of you are thinking to yourself, I've heard that before. You know, it's kind of like Sunday school. The answers that you can bring there. If you can say God, Jesus, the Bible, and prayer, if you can answer those, any question with those answers, that's good. Pretty much says it. And after a while, you get numb to the reality. But there's such a blessing that you have, young people and children, such a blessing that you have in growing up in the church. You may not realize that until you're older or when you go through something difficult in your lives, like losing a parent or having a bad accident or suffering with a debilitating disease. We're equipped with the gospel when we believe the truth. We're built up in it when we make that truth personal to our lives. Embrace those truths, young people. Don't just accept them as cold facts or mathematical formulas. The truth is what changes your life and helps equip you for the battle. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and equip you. Because the more you understand God's Word, the more firmly grounded you are in the faith. And there's also a need to grow in the gospel. How many of you have ever voluntarily picked up a book like Calvin's Institutes and just decided to read through them without any prompting of anyone else, not from your pastor or your catechism teacher? Young people, how many of you have read the canons of Dort without your catechism teacher asking you to do it? In your leisure time, how many of you are reading theology? Or reading Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Where's your desire? Where's your desire at? To be built up in the gospel. Well, may it be there in your heart today. And may it grow by God's power and by his strength. So this is what it means to shod your feet. That's the first point that we're looking at this morning. Secondly, we ask the question, how does shodding your feet help you in this spiritual battle? How does it help you in this spiritual battle? Well, what's more, we have to turn to the analogy of the Roman soldier. A Roman soldier would strap on his shoes tightly to guarantee sure footing. And it's kind of like playing hockey. What does a hockey player do if his skates are a little bit loose during the warm-up and he notices his skates need to be tightened? Well, he goes to the bench and he tightens them up. His laces are the key to good skating and performance. Anyone who plays hockey knows that. And the same is true with the Christian soldier. He needs to keep his shoes firmly strapped on to guarantee sure footing in the battle he faces. There are many things that you face that requires these shoes. A soldier can dig into the ground with confidence. He has stability in the midst of battle. And the same is true for you. Wherever your path goes, wherever you trudge, you have to keep those shoes on. Otherwise, you'll have trouble in your fight. Let me just give a couple of examples of everyday life. Say you're with your friends and you're around people from the world. Say these people are at school. They propose that you go out and get drunk or get high and join them in their lewd and sinful behavior. Perhaps these are things that you used to do with them, and you've stopped doing, and so they try to drag you back in. Or it could be a temptation from a boyfriend or a girlfriend. These could be temptations for the two of you to compromise God's standards of purity and holiness meant only for a marriage relationship. That's what spiritual battle is. We wrestle against the flesh, the world, and Satan. Now, as Christians, you have to remain firm. You've got to have your gospel shoes on. Don't take them off for following a vice. You can't compromise what God says. And so we must fight against the sins and temptations of the world. You're to stand with Christ. If you're tempted to take off the gospel shoes in some way, then reconsider your decision. It's worth it to keep them on. And not to cave into the pressures of friends. Even if it costs you your friendships, it's worth it. Even if it means breaking up with that boy or girl who's dragging you down, it's worth it. Hang on to your shoes. They're worth hanging on to. And God will bless you if you remain faithful to his word. You may lose friends, but the Lord is always a friend of those who are his. Or here's another example. There might be the temptation to look for peace, but not in the gospel, but somewhere else. We could be unsatisfied with the peace that the gospel gives. We're religious beings. We're made to serve and worship, and it's either true worship or it's false worship that we're engaged in. It's either in serving ourselves or in serving God. So let me ask you, to what or to whom are you looking to for peace? What are the idols that might be reigning in your life? Perhaps it is money. When unexpected bills mount up, or you can feel the pressure of finances, you can feel that fear that's rising up in your heart. Your idol is declaring you a failure if you're looking to money all the time. Or perhaps your idol is productivity. And when your health prevents you from doing as much as you need to be doing or want to be doing. You can become irritable. Your idol is cursing you, and you can respond with fear and anxiety. And others have different idols that they might be attracted to, or they might respond to the same idols differently. Some respond to their idols cursed with anger, lashing out at those around them. Others find themselves sucked into addictive patterns of behavior, whether with food or alcohol, or even seemingly positive things like exercise or cleaning as a way of escaping the bad feelings that are triggered by our idols' curses. You can't find your peace when you spend all your energy on yourself. You can only have peace when you're serving Jesus Christ. You have peace when you live in obedience to the demands of the gospel. That's where true peace lies. Beloved congregation, you have the foundation for peace. And it's Jesus Christ. Trusting Jesus, we always have hope. We always have confidence in this life. And when you trust Him, you will be strong. The battle might be raging all around you. There are all kinds of voices that are trying to drag you down. But you must remain in your shoes, because that's when you will have peace. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. My peace." It's different from the temporary, empty peace you find in this world. It's in him. And he adds, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be fearful. Look to me for peace," Jesus says. We all have to shod our feet with the gospel and stick with it and not take that off. Now, of course, these are obvious examples about the way that you might appear outwardly and how people see you on the outside, but what about the inside? What about inwardly? My father-in-law used to like to tell the story about a little boy who insisted on standing in a pew during the service, and his mom told him to sit down, and he complained about that, and he sat down, and he said to his mom, "I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." And that's true for all of us. We could talk about outward fighting, but what about fighting inwardly? We can look beautiful on the outside and be outwardly obedient, but what's going on in the inside? Satan is especially working in this way. Filthy thoughts, sexual lust, pride, worry, unbelief, jealousy, covetousness, and often they enter into our minds with accusing lies. The accuser, that's who he is, throwing lies and telling us things about ourselves that aren't true. Blasphemous thoughts at times, even when we're in prayer and trying to live a godly life. Wicked thoughts that we think or contemplate. Hate towards others. Doubts. Burning sinful desires that we want to fulfill. And you might be sincerely praying, but your mind wanders to think an angry thought about someone else. Or there's a day when you're especially attacked with regard to your temper. Or another day where you're attacked with regard to your moral purity. And another day it might be an attack upon your faith as it regards God's provisions. It may be a day when you're severely tested as to your confidence in the Word of God. It may be a day when you're wondering, "Does God really love me?" And the list can go on and on and on and on. These examples show us that we all have to be prepared on the right foundation so that we can stand. We're fighting. We're fighting the wiles of the devil and the principalities and powers. And there's only one way that we can handle our fight against these things, and it's when we have on the right shoes. We have to have on the gospel shoes. So what kind of shoes are you preparing yourself to do battle with Satan? Make sure that they're not the footwear of your own choosing. Put on the gospel and keep it on. Don't compromise. And be sure that when you do put on those shoes, as Romans says, Romans chapter 16, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And so may the Lord equip us for His glory in this important matter of spiritual warfare. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings to us and giving us the armor provided by You. Thank You for this other piece that we've been able to look at this day. Lord, may our feet be shod with the gospel of peace, so that we're able to stand against Satan. Grant to us Your blessing in that way. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.